what he said really surprised me, because he said that their main focus outside of ramping those plants is a Tesla bot.
Wow.
That's their number one priority.
They want to make that full, they want to make a robot.
They're working on them right now. I mean, they're working on them right now. And they call them Optimus Subprime, is what they call it. That's their code name for the robot program. I was blown away.
I want one to do. Oh, man, I would just love to have one to clean.
I just
laundry.
I just want my own personal build me up guy. I want one to just follow me around, and then all the stuff
Jarvis.
I say that's stupid, they're like, damn right. Damn right. Okay. And if you could get them with a custom voice, if I could get one that has Sam Elliott's voice off of 1883,
cool.
And he'd be my yes man, and he'd be like, damn straight, dork. Oh, gosh, that would be the best. Just be the best.
All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. This is the Tesla Tirade Edition. This is a little bit of an impromptu podcast tonight because I just got off the Tesla earning call for the full year, and I was so dang excited that I told Sawyer we need to hop on here and just talk about what's going on. And because I'm a caring soul, we're not going to just talk about what I want to talk about. I'm not going to monopolize the conversation.
Yeah, I said it's we can do that, but I don't really want to just sit here in silence because we got to have a little bit of back and forth. So I said we can talk about that. And we're going to also talk about the whole Joe Rogan situation with Spotify and the 270 doctors that came out and, you know, wrote a letter to Spotify saying he's a danger to society and all that. We're also going to talk about some sports. Some football, because that's really all I give a shit about is football. And
it was an amazing weekend.
It was an amazing weekend of football if you watched, and also if you watched last week, depending on who you're rooting for, it was a crappy week of football. But anyway, it was pretty exciting. So we're going to talk about a little bit of that. And you know, if you guys get any value from the show, we ask that you just share this puppy out to your friends, coworkers, family. We're trying to grow this thing, trying to do some good in this world. And it seems like it's been working, paying the fee, because we're up to 50 Spotify 5-star ratings.
Nice.
And we're up to 40, I think, on Apple. So do that as well if you guys get anything from it. We really appreciate all the reviews and all the ratings that you're giving us. We also got Barn Talk merch available. So if you guys want to cop that, we'll have it down in the description. If you're watching on YouTube, we'll have it in the show notes if you're listening, wherever you're listening. Also, leave us any questions. Anybody you want to see on the show, leave them down below. Any topics you guys want us to discuss, leave them down in the comments. DM us, whatever. We'll get it written down and we'll talk about it, because you guys are just as important to the show as the two knuckleheads talking every week. So
possibly more important.
More important, definitely.
I got my Barn Talk sweatshirt. I'm not modeling it tonight because I got it in angelic white, because I am pure as the wind driven snow. But it doesn't look good in the garage. White, you got to wear dark clothes because Our lighting is pretty stark here.
White doesn't look good on a white pale kid.
No.
Me, I'm pretty pale. You got a better complexion than I do, but I'm freaking pale. Doesn't matter. I just burn. I got a denim shirt on tonight. I'm pulling some good clothes out of the closet. I never really get to wear them because I look like a hoodlum most of the time. Either I look like a farmer that smells like poop, or
A gym rat
because I like to go to the gym. And, or I just am wearing, you know, pretty casual. But tonight, you know what? I don't get out much. So I said, I got to wear this nice denim shirt that I got for Christmas. And
you're practically a Dutton.
You know, yeah.
You just need a hat.
Call me Rip. So, you know, you guys are special to me. If I dress up for you, that's how you know you're special to me. Because I don't do it often. But
that is true. Yeah, that is true.
Only when I go out. Church, going out, that's about it. Family events, maybe. Not yours, but Cat's.
Right. Right.
Because I know you. Yeah. I don't got to impress you, any of you guys, or
no.
Look good for you guys.
If you haven't figured it out yet, then probably not going to fix it.
No. What's the market?
Well, the market, we're going to kind of forgo the market update tonight because we got a lot to talk about.
Too much to talk about.
But I do want to throw a couple things out. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Swineweb. I was talking to Jim Eady this week, and you know, Iowa Pork Congress is going on. And I think I'm going to try to run up there tomorrow for a little bit, check out all the folks, and walk around long enough till my feet hurt a little bit, and then be thankful that I'm not standing in a booth.
Do they sell any cookies there
tomorrow? I don't know. Do they have the cookies? I guess they have them at the state fair, don't they?
Yeah, way in the pork expo.
I don't know. There's probably something up there. But you ain't going to get any because you got to stay here and work.
I'm not probably going to head up there. Dad's better. He's better at networking than I am anyway.
Anyway. What I was going to say was, you know, if you want to know anything about what's going on in the hog business, SwineWeb is about the best place to get it. Jim Eady does a really good job of putting together everything that's going on out there and kind of put it in one place, and that's where I go. And the other thing I'll say is I'll give a shout-out to Eichelberger Farms, because if you go to SwineWeb this week or the last few weeks, I think they're looking for a new fieldman. So They promoted one of their fieldmen to a new job, and so they're looking for one. And so if you think that you've got what it takes, you might end up being Torque and Sawyer's fieldman. So think about that long and hard. We don't want any ding-dongs. Check that out. I had a great Instagram message this week. There is a guy from Indiana. I'm still looking for that Boar Power sign. Still looking for that Boar Power sign. But this guy, he has an original Boar Power stocking cap. So we pulled a little tradey. So I'm sending him a sweatshirt, and he's boxing up the Boar Power hat. So with any luck, upcoming episode, if it's cold enough, I'm going to be sporting that baby. So I'm pretty excited about that. It doesn't take much to excite me.
No, you get pretty amped pretty easily. That's good, though. Got to live life. Got to live life.
It's the little things.
It's the little things in life
that That's right.
make it all worthwhile. I'll give a shout out to the Iowa Dairy Farmer. Our last episode is absolutely crushing it, and it's probably due to mostly because his audience is transitioning over and giving it a watch and a listen, but it's the best episode. It's the best performing episode we got so far as YouTube and listening. It's getting up there really, really fast, so shout out to him. He absolutely crushed it on the podcast. If you guys listened or watched that or haven't, I recommend, but he goes really in depth on Iowa dairy farming and, you know, shines some light on it, and he does a good job. Very well spoken. So
yeah, he does.
Just wanted to give a shout out to him because that episode's crushing it, and that's just growing. So
he's a good guy. Dan does a good job.
Dan is a good guy.
Markets though is, as I said, I was listening to the Tesla year end annual report and investor meeting, and stocks. You know, it's been a bad week. It's been a hard week. A lot of worries about inflation. A lot of worries about Russia.
Interest rates aren't going to change, I saw. They're not going to do it yet.
They can't take all that liquidity out because the thing's going to tank. So the Fed's in a pretty precarious position, and they put themselves there. And the stock market reflects that. Crypto markets, same way. Bitcoin was down hard, got down 33,000, I think. Mm-hmm. It's come back. It got up 38,000 today. We're getting run in. Come on, welcome.
My girlfriend Kat's making it home from the gym.
So yep.
She's rolling in the Tesla.
Right now,
rolling into with the Tesla. Yep. So I told her just don't be blasting any Morgan Wallen when you come in because we got the audio. But hi, Kat. Welcome to the show. We saved a seat for you.
Yep. Step right up. I don't think she's quite ready for that. No.
We're saving Kat for a special exclusive episode. So we'll show her face for another time. But right now we got to get down to business. Stay on schedule.
All I'm going to say is we've had a lot of down days, and
commodities are up though.
Well, commodities are up because if Russia is going to invade the Ukraine, that plays big into the wheat market. The wheat market's been going crazy because they're an agricultural powerhouse, and usually war is not very good for food production.
I heard that China has a lot of grain. They, like, hoard grain.
Oh, yeah, they buy it up like crazy.
Is it 60% or is it 80% they hoard? They have, like, 60% of...
They have some of the...
Or 80%, I can't remember.
I don't know, but they have some of the biggest...
Well, because they have to, don't they?
Well,
because they can't. They don't have any agricultural production, so they gotta just hoard the shit out of it.
They're trying, but the problem with China is, and I won't go too far, but most of the country doesn't have any arable land, and most of the country doesn't have much water, and so what happens is the places that are the best for people to live are also the best places to farm, which that doesn't work very well. And the United States, that's one of the United States is what makes it so unique is the fact that
it's just the best damn. I mean,
it is.
The Lord really did just say, you know, this is going to be the best piece of land out there.
So your population centers, for the most part, are away from where most of the arable land is.
We thought that out.
Well, that's just the way it happened. It's just the way it happened. And in China, you don't, you have it, every place that's good to live that has water is also where there's land to farm. And so it's a constant battle. And so they struggle with that. But they, yes, they hoard a hell of a lot of grain. Because, and the other reason is because they cannot afford to have people go hungry, because it leads to people get bad ideas when they're hungry and they're trying to stay in power. And so anyway, that's one for another. That's a whole nother podcast.
Yep. I'll get it started. I'm going to try to get as much talking as I can in first, because I know that once we get down the Tesla tirade, I'm going to just do a lot of commenting on and probably asking a lot of questions, because I didn't listen to the annual report. I'm gonna get the same information that you guys are gonna get, same reaction and everything. So, we're gonna start with some sports. We don't talk about sports much on this podcast because the only sport I really watch, I would say, is football, college football, and NFL football. And you know, you can watch the NFL or you can hate it or whatever, but I like NFL more. And yeah, this weekend was an absolute just crazy weekend of NFL football. Tom Brady almost came back and lost. The Bills and Chiefs game was absolutely insane. Aaron Rodgers lost. Thank the Lord. I hate the Packers. I know there's probably some Packer fans on here. But ever since the Dez didn't catch it, which now they ruled is a catch, I've hated the Packers, and I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the most overrated quarterback ever. You can't compare him to Tom Brady. If you're going to compare him to something, Patrick Mahomes is just as good as Aaron Rodgers. He's got a Super Bowl. He's got an MVP. His throwing ability and ability to play quarterback is at the same level as Rodgers, if not better. So,
well, you're going
to
have people bringing the heat. You can't
tell me he's Tom Brady's level. He's had one ring and he's been to so many playoffs and he hasn't gone to another Super Bowl. I mean, you can't tell me he's a GOAT. He's not even top 10. He could maybe be top 10. He can maybe crack the top 10 list. Maybe.
I don't really have a dog in this fight too much, but I'll say I think Drew Brees was a better quarterback than what.
They're on the same level too. You can't say that. Yeah, if you're going to compare quarterbacks, they're in the same. You can compare that. Mm-hmm. You can say, "Yep, yeah, is Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers better?"
Yep.
I'd argue
that Drew Brees is better.
That's an argument you can make, but you can't tell me that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are even in the same category. No. Hell, Tom Brady's not even in the same category as anybody. He's the greatest football player to ever live.
As much as I hate to admit it.
Yeah, he's done.
He's a guy that I dislike him way less playing for the Bucks. But over the years, I've gone full circle with Tom Brady because
I think a lot of people hated him.
I hated him, but his story's too good. His work ethic's too good.
And I don't hate Aaron Rodgers. He's got amazing throwing ability, amazing quarterback play. But so does Mahomes. So does Josh Allen. That doesn't mean he's not in the conversation as the greatest quarterback to play. Joe Montana is better than Aaron Rodgers. John Elway, better than Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees, probably better than Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre, better than Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
You want me to keep going?
You just need to stop. I need to take the shovel.
Okay, so anyway, that Chiefs versus Bills game was probably the game of one of the best games of this decade that we'll ever see. I mean, we're pretty early in the decade, but man, it was great. It was a great game. Absolutely wild. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are the next Brady versus Manning rivalry. I think they're absolutely just complete gunslingers. That was one of the games, one of the best quarterback plays I've ever seen. Like, between two quarterbacks, they played a perfect game. Absolutely perfect. And I've never really seen that before. And I mean, those guys are just ballers, gunslingers. The term gunslinger, they're the two examples, because sidearm passes, no look passes, deep ball, short ball, escaping pressure, running the ball when they need to. Absolutely perfect. It was such a fun game to watch. Even my girlfriend, Kat, loved it. She's slowly turning into a Chiefs fan because she likes Patrick Mahomes. But, I mean, Chiefs are pretty exciting to watch, so I can't really fault her for that.
Yeah, and Mahomes has raised the bar as to what is too little time to make a comeback?
Yeah, I was going to say, Bills defense should have held him. I mean, so Josh Allen pretty much, there's so many points in the game where you're like, okay, Josh Allen's got to go down here and score. He did it twice. So Mahomes scored, and then you're like, okay, Josh Allen, you got 2 minutes to go down in the field and score. And he scored really quick, and you're like, shit, Josh Allen might have just won them the game. And then Patrick Mahomes comes back, does it again, scores. And then you're like, okay, Josh, you got to go down and score again to win this game. And he does.
In a minute. With like what? A minute, 20 seconds, something like that.
So you're like, okay, this is the last drive of the game. If he goes down here and scores, it's over. And he and they did a good job of making sure they did not leave time for Patrick Mahomes. 13 seconds, yep. I'm pretty confident. If I score 13 seconds left, I'm probably going to win. I'm probably going to win. They go up three. And I want Josh Allen to win because he has lost to the Chiefs because they get to that big game and they lose to the Chiefs. And I want him to have a little glory. And I also feel bad for the Bills fan base because they've never won a Super Bowl. They went to four consecutive Super Bowls and lost all four of them. Two to the Cowboys. Sorry, not sorry. But, Yeah. Geez, I wanted them to get going. But you got to give credit to Mahomes. 13 seconds left. He goes down the field, kicks a field goal into overtime. And this is where a lot of controversy has been talked about. Chiefs win the coin toss. Both defenses are exhausted. And Chiefs go down, score a touchdown, game's over, and there's no other. They don't even give the Bills a chance to
do anything.
Yeah. So I think the overtime rule needs to at least change a little bit. If you're not going to change it for all games, regular season and postseason, at least change it for the postseason. Give the other team a chance. I think they should give them a quarter. And it doesn't even have to be a whole 15-minute quarter. Maybe it's 12, maybe it's 10. And at the end of that 10 minutes, 12 minutes, whoever has the most points wins. Because that game would have been, you could have probably got four more touchdowns. It would have been even more, it would have been even better of a game. And not giving the other team a chance in the playoffs to me is just, it sucks.
Yeah, and I love the Kelce story when they go to the huddle, Travis Kelce goes in there and
play backyard football.
And they basically are playing backyard football. He tells Mahomes that throw the ball here and I'll be there. And
I'll run whatever route, whatever it takes to get it open.
To get open, to get to that spot.
Yeah. It was so fun to watch. Both teams are great. And I wish that was the Super Bowl because that would have been a hell of a Super Bowl. Those two teams are probably the best in the league.
What is your Super Bowl prediction? Who do you think it's going to be?
I personally think the 49ers and they're going to watch this episode a week late. You're going to know who's going to the Super Bowl.
Well, we'll see whether it ages well or not.
Yeah, so I personally think the 49ers are going to beat the Rams because I think the 49ers are a lot like the Giants when they beat Tom Brady. They have a stout defense, very stout defense. Defensive line is stacked. And then they also have Jimmy Garoppolo, which is a lot kind of like Eli Manning. I'd say Eli Manning is probably a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo, but like Eli's not elite. Eli was never elite quarterback, and Jimmy G isn't an elite quarterback. He's just a good game manager. And then you got George Kittle, you got Deebo Samuel, and you got a good running game. So I think they could really be, they're that gritty team that you don't expect to win, but they win.
Yeah,
they beat the Packers. They beat the Cowboys. And I think they beat the Rams twice this year because they're right in their division. So I think they can beat them again.
Yeah.
So I think 49ers, and man, I'd love to see Joe Burrow freaking beat the Chiefs. I think that would be awesome. He's a stud. But I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Bengals. But I think Joe Burrow can, if he holds himself in that game, I think he can really make an argument for himself that he's probably the third best quarterback or fourth best quarterback in the league if he holds himself against the Mahomes. But I would love to see the Bengals. So I think 49ers, Chiefs, it's going to be a rematch. Chiefs beat the 49ers, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. But I think those two teams are going to go.
So who's not in the playoffs?
Rams and...
No, who's not in the playoffs?
Who's not?
Yeah, who's not?
Oh, yeah, Cowboys. So my team, the Cowboys, absolutely blew it again. Every year they freaking blow it. I am getting sick of watching the regular season with the Cowboys. I've gone through the 8-8s. I've gone through the 12-4s. I've gone through the 11-5s. I've gone through them all. The regular season doesn't mean shit now when you're a Cowboys fan because what all that matters is What are you going to do in the playoffs? That's what matters. And I've been a Cowboys fan since I've been probably 4 years old, and I've gone through it all. And we choke every year. And I just really don't understand why you would run it with 14 seconds left and when you've made three consecutive passes to get out of bounds and stop the clock. You are being an effective offense. Why are you running it doing a QB draw? You should know the situation of the game. The coaches should know you can't spike the ball with 14 seconds left. You need at least, I think it was the numbers like 16. If you got 16 seconds left, you can spike the ball.
And you can't set your own ball.
Yeah, and I think that's part of that. I mean, I'm not going to put the blame on the refs at all like the Cowboys did. I think that is dumb of them. Dak should have known, but I also think there's so much adrenaline going that he was just trying to go. So I think he knows the rule, obviously, but he's just, you know.
He was caught in the moment.
He was caught in the moment, and that's part of coaching, too. I mean, the coaches need to relay that situation over to them. I mean, you got to know the situation. But I think the play call was horrible, to be honest. I think it was absolutely horrible. And, of course, and I'll say this, too, Patrick Mahomes made Dak look like shit because Patrick Mahomes drove down the field with 13 seconds left, and Dak can't even get up to the ball and spike it with 14. If he would have gotten down a little sooner, I think he could have spiked it, but he ran too far. But granted, Chiefs had three timeouts. Cowboys had none on that drive. But this is the crappy part about being a Cowboys fan. They always lose. They always lose with a drastic lead, and then they lose the lead. Or they'll suck in the very beginning, like for two or three quarters, and then they'll come back slowly. And then right when you think, oh man, they're going to win. We're going to get this. We're going to pull this out and we're going to go through a gritty win. We lose. And that's the worst way to lose. I hate losing like that. It's never blatantly obvious that they're going to lose. Perfect example, Tony Romo, when they played the Seahawks, couldn't get the snap down for the PAT to win the game.
Yep.
I mean, just shit like that. And this is the last thing I'll say about it. Cowboys fans, stop with the "we're going to the Super Bowl every year" chant. I'm sick of it. It's not working. It's a curse. Every year, Cowboys fans, the mantra of Cowboys fans, this is the year. We're going this year. We're stacked this year. And I've never been that way as a Cowboys fan. I feel like I've been always like, yeah, we got a solid team. Defense is solid. Offense is solid. If we're going to do it, if we're going to have a year, this could be the year. But I'm never like, we're going to the Super Bowl. That era is over. We don't have Aikman. We don't have Michael Irvin. We don't have Emmitt Smith anymore. That's done. We haven't won a Super Bowl or gone to a conference championship in decades. So stop.
Well, I feel like in the NFL, one thing that has changed from that time, which there was a period of time in the NFL that the level of talent throughout the league was not equal at all. And if you were a franchise like Dallas and you had Jerry and you had people that were very good at making deals and knowing how to research the draft and knowing how to do what Dallas did. I mean, you cannot take anything away from that era because Jerry Jones changed the way every other football team in the NFL is run. And at that time, there was not equal talent throughout the league.
I also feel like it wasn't so analytical based.
Today, the difference between the best teams, I'd say the difference between the top half of the NFL in any given season is very, very tiny. It comes down so much to culture and coaching. Because talent, everybody's got talent. I mean, there's a few people.
Very select few teams that are just trash.
Right. It is the level of competition is higher than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And I will just say, I kind of joke at this, but I feel like Jerry Jones has become the Art Shell of the NFL. Like, he needs to go. Or not Art Shell. What was it? Is that his name? The guy from who?
Al Davis.
Al Davis. Sorry, Art Shell. Yeah, Al Davis. I feel like he's the Al Davis. I mean, he stayed too long, and he's arrogant enough, and he thinks he can still manage it and make the deals.
I'll just say this: he put together a great team.
He did.
They have the talent.
Yep.
The Cowboys have drafted and signed the people they need to sign. The Dak contract, a little iffy, and the Zeke contract, a little iffy, because they're overpaid, people think. And, you know, at this rate, I agree. I mean, they haven't really done shit. But they get talent. It's just, and the Mike McCarthy coaching job, that's got to stop. He needs to go. Dan Quinn needs to take over the defensive coordinator. The locker room loves Dan Quinn more than they like Mike McCarthy. Get him out. Get him out.
I think you just need to end there. Go. Get him out. Go yep. on.
Yeah, that's all I'll say. And that's all I'll say.
You can take that time and spend it listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. Hey, yeah. Look at that transition.
Look at that tie-in, yeah.
Wow, it was great.
You going to hit it or you want me to?
Well, I think we both can. You know, as you're hearing this, some time will have passed because we're recording a little bit ahead of time. This last week, a lot of fallout kind of came to a head from the Joe Rogan podcast. He had a research scientist on there that, he's a doctor too, but I think he was a researcher, but he held 19 patents on the technology that they use to make the test. What is it? RMDNA or I can't get my acronym right, but that goes into making the test that they test for COVID. And also the technology they've used to create some of the drugs that they're treating it with. And it was a very controversial podcast. It went 3 hours long. And I actually sat down and listened to the whole thing. And I would have to say that...
Do you recommend it?
I would highly recommend it because the man that he interviewed is... He's very intelligent. He's very thoughtful in his answers. He doesn't really have a horse in the game. As far as I don't think he really cares whether you believe him or don't believe him because he doesn't have anything to prove. I mean, he...
No agenda to push.
No. And he made a very strong point of mentioning that, you know, of the people that are out there in the forefront commenting on the COVID situation from the medical side, he's one of the only ones that isn't getting paid somehow. There's a lot of people involved in it that have a monetary interest in the direction that we've been heading. But what we were going to talk about was after this went on, there was a group of, and I'll air quote, doctors and scientists.
So-called.
300 of them, 270
so-called doctors that wrote a note. Wrote a letter, co-signed
to Spotify.
To Spotify. And only 87 of them are actual doctors. That's a fact. That's came out, and that's a fact. 87 of them are actually doctors. The rest are
medical students.
Engineers, medical students, veterinarians, et cetera, et cetera. They're not really doctors. And it's so funny that when it comes to this whole COVID thing, we can't listen to anybody that's... You can't listen to nobody that's not a medical doctor. You got to have the medical doctor. You got to have a PhD, whatever. But when it comes to canceling somebody, we can throw everybody in there that's related to medicine at all. You know, it doesn't matter. We can co-sign this letter. And if you're in medicine, we can just throw you on here.
Throw you on there.
But, you know, whatever. I think part of it was, yeah, that happened. That doctor came on there. But also around the same time that podcast came out, there was a 2021 Q3 chart. Yep. I don't know why it was Q3, but it wasn't Q4. It was Q3.
Well, because they didn't have all the data totaled.
I'll read you some stats here. The Joe Rogan podcast of quarter three of 2021, so it's probably bigger now, gets 11 million viewers per show. And he completely blows the mainstream media out of the water. He's bigger than the next four shows combined in the mainstream media. And all those four shows are all right-wing shows. So, you know, that kind of shows you where the state of America is, too, a little bit. I mean, really, out of mainstream media, the next four biggest in viewership behind Joe Rogan are all right-wing.
Yeah.
And left-wing shows are absolutely getting just destroyed.
Hammered.
Just getting destroyed. The show with the biggest viewership on the left is MSNBC's The Rachel Maddow.
Maddow
show with 2.2 million.
Yeah.
And it, I think part of it was, okay, yeah, they don't like what Joe's doing, but also with interviewing a doctor, you know, having a conversation with him. But I think part of it was because they saw Joe Rogan now has the power of attention to an extreme level, bigger than every mainstream media show out there. Like, huge. 11 million to the next show, the left show with the biggest following with 2.2. I mean, just insanely bigger than most shows, all shows. And it just goes to show you that it's all about authenticity. You know, Joe Rogan is authentic, and that is what people like about him. That's what people want. They don't want to listen to a show that's pushing an agenda, that's backed by a company that's pulling the strings behind the scenes. They don't want that. We don't want that. We want to hear somebody sit down, talk about real subjects from different viewpoints, and interviewing people with his questions that he's thinking, that we're probably thinking at home. Yeah, we're all thinking. You know, what's wrong with that? And he mentioned that too. It's like, if I can't even sit down and have a conversation with somebody and just discuss without getting canceled, there's a problem there.
Right.
That is a major problem.
I want to go back and touch on something. When I think part of the reason that media in general is so upset and are going after Joe, and don't kid yourself, this is going to spill over to other people that are big. Because Joe, he has the biggest show out there, the biggest podcast out there.
He was the originator. I mean, he wasn't the OG, but he was.
Oh, he was early.
So,
you know, for those of you that, you know, might be new to podcasts, the whole podcast deal started, and it got very popular, and then it kind of died out. And Joe started when it first got popular. But then it really backed off for a period of time. And he stuck through it. He just kept going that whole time. And now today, people are so hungry for that. People are tired of a soundbite. And people are tired of talking
points.
Yeah, they want something with some meat on it. They want the whole story. They want to be able to listen. That's the problem, is there's no exchange of ideas. There's just talking points and
fluff,
people cutting each other off that can't get a word in edgewise. If you watch any cable show, news show that have people on there with two different opinions, they're only on there so that they can go after each other, and it's for ratings. And the left, that is why they have such an incestuous relationship with Donald Trump, because if you look back at CNN and MSNBC's highest ratings, their highest ratings were during the Trump presidency, and the very highest ratings were through when that thing went on through the Capitol. Yeah. That was the highest rating they ever had. So on the one hand, you know,
now they're plummeting.
Oh yeah, now it's the lowest it's ever been. It's the lower now than before Trump was president.
And I don't care what you say, whatever you believe, what side you're on, what side of the aisle you're on, but you cannot disagree that Donald Trump was the most sought after president. Like, everybody was going after him.
Oh, from all sides.
All sides. He was the most
because he was an outsider.
What do you say there? What do you say?
Polarizing.
Somebody coming after him. Everybody was attacking Donald Trump.
Well, he was the
most criticized president in all of U.S. history. Yeah. Like, you can't even deny it. It was every single day. Did not matter what it was, him, what he ate. If he ate something that was unhealthy, it was terrible.
Yeah. Like,
every little detail was absolutely shined on, and CNN took massive advantage of it. Every single day was a new story because it was all about ratings.
So if they would have caught a hot mic of Donald Trump calling a reporter a dumb SOB, what do you think would have happened?
Well, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, but Joe Biden, if you haven't seen this clip yet, somebody asked him about inflation, if it's a political issue, and he pretty much calls him a dumb son of a bitch right on the
hot,
right on the pole,
on the mic.
Right on the mic.
Yeah.
And it was like...
But he called him afterwards and apologized, it's okay.
Yeah, and it's just funny because if that was Trump, volcanoes would be exploding. I mean, that would be everywhere.
And I got sidetracked from when I came back after I cut you off the last time. But I think the thing that enrages the media so much, and I would imagine it even upsets people at Fox News, is the fact that I feel like there's a big trend. We're all tired of having to get our news secondhand. In other words, we don't need somebody sitting behind a desk to tell us the news and to interpret it, because there is a history of the media feeling like that we're all too dumb to understand what's going on. So they need somebody on that television to interpret to you what the news means, because you're too dumb to interpret it for yourself.
Let's skew it too.
Yeah. And they spin it.
Personal gain.
But those viewerships with podcasts and other means of getting your media,
YouTube, whatever,
Twitter, they hate that because they're not needed.
Well, and the other thing is these media companies are multi-generational companies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've been around, they've been passed down.
Yep.
And are you going to be the generation that let it fall? Because that's what it's about. I mean, they have some real wealth behind them, real wealth. And yep. That's right. They don't like it at all.
They're like,
and that's so when they see Joe Rogan is absolutely kicking the living shit out of them as far as viewership, they don't like it, and they're going to try to do anything they can possibly do to shut that shit down.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work.
I think the cat's out of the bag.
Would be absolutely, they'd be idiots to let Joe Rogan go.
Well, the head of Spotify, he put a statement out a few days ago, and basically he just said that it has never been their policy to silence free speech. And this came after...
I love that shit.
This came after Neil Young said that... Because Neil Young is still so relevant. Sorry, Neil, but you're not that relevant. But he came out and said that if they didn't take Rogan off, that they could just take all his music off Spotify, which in hindsight on his part was not a very smart thing to do, because there's no comparison as far as the listening, how many people download. But I think the reason he did that was, I think the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to see more political artists getting on that bandwagon and saying, oh, yeah, well, yeah, not just him.
Down, you got to take me down.
Yep, got to take me down too. You got to take me down. Well, I'm saying on the left side or on that side. People are going to take Neil Young's side and say, yeah, me too. And now I'm not saying that that's going to take root, but that's why they had him do it. He's just cannon fodder. You know, they just said somebody put him up to it. Maybe not. Maybe he did it himself, but... Anyway, I don't think it's going to work. And it doesn't really matter, because there are a lot of people that have bigger platforms than what cable news is. It's not just Joe Rogan.
The trust is gone. I don't care if it's right or left. I don't watch it. I don't watch mainstream media because it's bullshit. They got an agenda. They got corporation. They got multi-generational wealth behind it. They're in bed with the politicians. They're in bed with Big Pharma. I don't care what you say. They are. They are. They totally are. And I don't want that. I have found resources and podcasts and people I listen to that don't have corporations back behind them, that don't have an agenda to push on me, that sit down, have real conversations, give real different points of view, and talk shit out.
Yeah.
And that, we need more people like Joe Rogan. We need more people like Barn Talk. This right here, right now. This is what we need, because we need to show people that you're not alone, because a lot of the time you feel alone because they make you feel
alone. This is all you hear. If you're in that sphere.
We need more common Americans that are living normal lives, that have pretty normal beliefs, to stand up and talk about what they believe, because then you won't feel so damn alone, and we might feel like, you know what? We do have the numbers on our side. It is this the loud ones talking that spread all the shit. Yeah. We need more people to speak out.
And I think you're seeing people... even more liberal people that are getting to the point that they've had enough too. The gal that was on Bill Maher, I don't remember what her name is.
Do you see that clip when she was talking about
and COVID? So she was a writer at the New York Times, I think.
When you see him though, I'm impressed.
Well,
with him.
You have watched. So Bill Maher is very liberal, and through this whole deal, you've seen him. You have seen him.
He gets it.
Yeah,
he
his thought process. He's worked it through, and he looks like you're talking to a conservative. And it's not that he's conservative. It's that
he thinks for himself.
Well, he thinks for himself, and there are a lot of people that I always give the example of my father-in-law. Because my father-in-law, he grew up a Democrat, and he would be what I'd say a John Kennedy Democrat. The problem with it is the Democratic Party's left him so far, they've moved so far to the left that now he's a conservative. And he really hasn't changed his beliefs. It's just that the agenda has pushed so far one way that those people, and I feel like Bill Maher's much more liberal than Dono, but he's the same way. He was liberal, but he looked around and he's like, now you guys are just, you're just crazy. And this whole thing's crazy. And there's no logic. When you can think for yourself and there's no logic. I saw a great tweet yesterday morning. Some guy just tweeted out, and I've never seen him before, but he says, as a general rule, the people that are burning the books and not letting people talk universally are the bad guys.
Yeah.
And I thought, pretty simple,
yeah.
But pretty true.
Right.
And you're going to see the other thing. I think this is interesting to watch. It's an election year. And as we get closer to that election time, you're going to see more and more Democrats that are going to do a lot of window dressing, and they're going to go, because they all got to go home. They all got a campaign, and they're going to try their damnedest to distance themselves from this and make the appearance that they're much more moderate than they really are. There was some representative, I meant to look it up before I came down, but he came out today and he was going off about masks. I basically said that no school children should have to wear a mask. I think this is in New York. I think he's a state. I think he is either a senator for New York or a representative from New York. And he was saying that he's against mask mandates. Well, you know, where have you been this whole time? But I think he feels the heat because he's going to be up for election. So anyway.
That's what they do every time.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to go home and kiss babies and make promises that you don't have any intentions of keeping.
You got to play the politician now. Mm-hmm. You got to play like a politician. Yep. Yeah. I don't think you can cancel him. I really don't. I think and here's the other thing with this cancel culture shit. I think people are so fed up with cancel culture. It's just like you say, unless you really, really, really mess up, like you actually have something that, okay, you're worth, like you need to be canceled, bro. But like Joe Rogan has probably gained listenership and viewership drastically since this story came out. We have our guy that hauls grain for us.
Hauls feed.
Hauls feed for us. Feed truck driver. He's never listened to Joe Rogan ever, and this story came out, and then he gave this episode a listen, and now he likes Joe Rogan and is going to listen to Joe Rogan from here on out. And what do you say always? Bad publicity is still...
It doesn't matter. Good or bad doesn't matter as long as they're talking about
it. Unless it's really, really bad. I mean, obviously, there are some people out there that do some really screwed up shit that need to be canceled, but I think cancel culture is slowly just losing its credibility.
Right, because it's all it's not so much of it is doesn't have any
substance
behind it. It's just it's all fake.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all fluff.
And I mean this is a perfect example because you say 270 doctors come out and sign.
Sounds
this
good.
Sounds great. You know, sounds like oh shit, they got some real firepower behind this thing. And then what it turns out to be. Most of it's fluff. Most of it's BS.
Yeah.
And now I think Joe Rogan has probably gained a lot of viewers and
watchers. He couldn't have bought the publicity that he's getting now.
Right.
Because so that's the other thing about the world of podcasts is it's kind of a niche. And your people that partake of that, they're kind of a unique group of people. And this whole thing has taken him mainstream again. Because most people know there's a lot of people out there that you say Joe Rogan, they go, oh, the guy from Fear Factor, yeah, or the guy from UFC. And not very many people.
Or the comedian.
Yeah, right. They don't know that he even does that. Mm-hmm. And so this thing, it's just going to.
And I don't think it's just Joe Rogan. I just think that this is, cancel culture is just losing its momentum. It's losing its credibility. And right. And the other thing with it is, like, if you got some far left person trying to cancel something, I think the trend is coming where, okay, if you see a TikTok video of somebody trying to cancel whoever, somebody's trying to cancel Joe Rogan, right? We'll use him as an example. And then you're going to have the other person on the other side of the phone that sees that and goes, well, I don't really believe with your argument of why we need to cancel Joe Rogan. I'm with Joe Rogan on this. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go check him out because he kind of believes the things that I'm believing. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. you're going to get people right to follow you, even if it's not what people are canceling you for. You're still going to get viewership unless you really... like,
well, when the people that are
sexual abuse and shit like that, okay, yeah, you're probably gonna be screwed. Yeah, that ain't good. But if it's more like political, you know, something like that.
When the people that are attempting to cancel somebody have zero credibility, which that's where we are with a lot of the media, the people that see that, the ordinary people that see that go, well, I don't believe you. Like, you're the last person that I'm gonna take at your word. I'm going to go check it out. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing happen.
People are more curious than they ever been.
Yeah.
It's never been easier to go check out the other side.
Right. So. And that's the other thing that's got, I mean, media is outdated. That's what mainstream media is being taken to the woodshed by technology. And it's like we talked on here. There's so many things that are headed that way because technology is the great, it's going to level the playing field in so many things, and it already has. Look at print media. Print media is dead, and your mainstream cable networks, not far behind.
I would just say you could make it as a mainstream network if you reported the news, actually.
Right.
If somebody actually came out like it used to be and what weren't skewed, weren't backed by anybody.
But when those channels...
If you could do that and prove it, if you could do that and prove it to people, you could maybe have a shot, but they're not going to do it.
The problem is the sponsorship for that, the money for that, is all dirty. Yep. The money's dirty. The problem is the money behind mainstream media is the same money that's running big pharma, and it's the same money that's running politics, and mm-hmm. it's dirty. And people know it, and they're not interested. And so those kind of shows are never going to see the light of day because that money controls the networks.
Yep.
They control those outlets. That's why for as much as Twitter gets a lot of hate for the people that, and they've done some pretty shitty stuff, the people that they've kicked off of there, but still the flow of ideas that, and the amount of stuff that you find on Twitter, it's still pretty impressive. There's a lot of people that they basically get their news off of that because when something happens, you get almost the instant.
You get a ton of different opinions too.
And from people that are right in the middle of it.
Right. And the other thing that I wanted to say about what you're talking about there is coming back to the multi-generational thing. These companies were started and the people that founded these media companies, whether it was, I don't know if
Rupert Murdoch,
you know, they had written word media, right?
Yep.
Before there
print
was
media.
Print media. They had print media and they understood the power of attention. They understand the power that comes with being able to form people's opinions and showing them and getting their attention. They know the power of that. Mm-hmm. And now they're fighting that at a scale they've never seen before.
Yep. Right.
This generation that has inherited the CNN generation that has it now is like, holy shit. This has never been the way that my papa had it.
Right.
Because we got a whole front over here that we're fighting now. And now it's like, oh, crap.
Yep.
Power of attention is the ultimate power. Skewing people's beliefs is everything.
And that's why they're working so hard at it. Well, and that's why you've got, you know, like we said before, you got government, you got big pharma, and you got the mainstream media all working together, and that is a toxic.
And they
want to
tell you, that we're dumber than we've ever been before. But I feel like we're not. We're smart.
We're not.
We're smarter than we've ever been before because we're not buying the shit you've always fed us.
Yep.
So Do you think they'll ever cancel Elon?
No chance.
How about Tesla?
No chance.
SpaceX?
No chance. Although Bernie would like to, because he thinks that it's they're taking advantage of the American taxpayer.
Well, tell us why Tesla will never be canceled.
Okay, so the earnings call was today, and I was really impressed because
I'm getting another beer so I can
soak it all up.
Soak it all in.
I just wrote down a few highlights, but I think the first thing that is they're going to be talking about tomorrow is for this year, Tesla achieved over 50% growth. So they delivered just shy of 1 million cars this year. And their guidance for next year, a lot of people had their what they expect that they'll do in 22 at about 1.3, 1.4 million cars. And Elon said on the call, actually it wasn't even Elon. They said that they have both Fremont and Shanghai, which are the two plants that they have today that are up and running. Those two plants are on track to deliver 1.4 million cars just for the two of them. That's not even counting the plant in Texas or the plant in Germany. So they will achieve over 50% growth again this year, but they're probably going to have over 50% growth every year for the next 5 to 10 years. And to put that in perspective, GM, and I like bagging on Mary Barra because I think she's one of the most horrible executives there is, but GM is trash. I mean, they will not be. I do not believe, and I've said this, I don't think GM is going to make it. Now, if the government comes in and bails them out again, they might, but I don't think they're going to make it. Their goal is to deliver 1 million EVs worldwide, 1 million EVs worldwide by 2024. So, and that's with the partnerships they have around the world. Tesla will be over 3 million EVs by 2024. And yet GM tells you that they're going to be the leader. And I would say that 3 million number may be closer to 4. It just depends on how fast they can ramp Berlin. But then the other side of that, what nobody talks about, and this is what's got me excited, is so they're going to sell 3 million cars, but they're going to sell them at a gross profit of close to 30% and a bottom line profit margin of this right now, I think their bottom line profit margin, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think it's about 14.7% is what they did for the quarter. So they have the highest profit margin, both gross and net, of any car company. The 3 million cars that they sell, they're going to make a shitload of money on. If GM can sell 1 million cars, they'll make almost nothing on them because they... all their costs are higher, they're inefficient, and they have the burden of trying to sell you a gas vehicle and then trying to sell you an EV at the same time. And you can't do it. You can't sit there. We were just talking about people are smarter than what, you know, they're given credit for. Well, how in the hell is GM going to run you a commercial with a Hummer on there and tell you that's the greatest thing? And then on the other hand, they're going to tell you that a gas Suburban is the greatest thing. You can't have it both ways. You just can't. Both of those divisions can't be profitable at the same time, I don't think. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and we'll find. And the thing is, we're going to find out. That's the great thing about this. You know, there's a hard, you know, 4 years from now, there'll be a hard drive. There'll be an orange zip drive laying on my desk that has this episode. Somebody can dig it up and say, boy, Whistler was wrong. He didn't know what he's talking about.
Think or that, they'll say... man, he knew.
Oh, was gosh. He's like a little, he's like a little chubby Einstein.
Yeah. Could never know.
That was one of the high points. They're producing cars out of Berlin and out of Texas. They're basically just waiting for the permit to sell those cars because when you start up a new plant, I didn't realize this, but my understanding is that when you start up a new plant like that, the cars that come out of there, you have to send them out to all of the testing agency like NHTSA, and you know, they do the rollover and they do the side impact and the T-bone and the, all that. They do all those tests and to make sure that everything is as it should be, and then you get a permit or you get final approval to start production. Now, the plant in Berlin is a little different because there's a lot of bureaucracy there that they're working through, but I still think they're very close to getting that going. And so I think, you know, it's realistic. They may do 1.6 million cars this year. It's hard to say, but I'm sure it's going to be over 1.4. And then the other thing that was really surprising to me was they were asked, Elon was asked about the other models, because a lot of people have talked to that Tesla needs to come out with a low-priced EV, like a $25,000 car. And everybody wants to know when the Cybertruck's coming. And his answer to that was that if they would have concentrated on anything other than producing the four models that they are producing right now, their numbers would have been less, because every car that they put a battery pack in
is in those four models.
Is in those four models. And if they started producing anything else, and they can produce those four models the most efficiently. So if they started Cybertruck, it would draw down everything because it's not as efficient to do and all that. And on the $25,000 car, Elon just said, he said, I am more confident than I've ever been that we will solve full self-driving this year. And if that happens, the value of a robo-taxi, the value of having a Model 3 or a Model Y that you can basically put on the road and use it as a driverless Uber, that value is 5 to 10 times greater than the value of the car. And for a person that needs to get to a job that would be a buyer of a $25,000 car, in the future, it's going to be cheaper for them to not even own a car and just take a robo-taxi to get to work. And in fact, their goal is to make it to the point that a robo-taxi is cheaper per mile, per trip, than taking a bus. Because his answer to that question was, when full self-driving rolls out, you won't have mass transit the way you do today, because you'll be able to take a robo-taxi cheaper than what you can buy a bus pass.
Do you think they'll own all the robo-taxis?
Yeah.
Or do you think, no, you think he's going to own them all?
Well, I don't think he will own them all to start with. I think people that have bought the cars that have bought full self-driving,
you don't they'll, think be, they'll be, I like think a Hertz, Tesla app.
I think Hertz will do it. I think there'll be people that do it, but I also think Tesla is going to do it themselves. And their other goal is by the end of the year to have 80% of the people that own a Tesla. Their goal is to have insurance available to 80% of the buyers of their cars within the United States.
Their own insurance?
Because right now Tesla insurance is available in Texas, California, Ohio, Illinois. And I don't know where. I think there's 5 states that it's available in. And their goal is to get it in all 50 states. But they won't have that by the end of the year because every state's a little bit different. And the insurance industry is not a big fan of Tesla insurance. And they're lobbying pretty hard against it. So it's hard to get. But that's going to be a big moneymaker. But the most surprising thing that Elon talked about that I totally did not see coming, when they were asking what their next priority is, because a lot of people are very fired up for Cybertruck or for the cheap car or for the semi.
I'm excited for the Tesla Roadster.
Yeah, and he did say Roadster too. He said that the outside of ramping up production on their plants that they have and deciding where the next plants are going to be, because they're going to announce by the end of the year where they're going to build their next plants And there's a lot of speculation whether they're going to build one in England, if they're going to build one in India, they're going to build one in Africa.
India.
Yeah, I mean, India's tough. They're having a hard time getting in there with the tariffs and all that. And that would be a market where you would want to have a very small, inexpensive car, mm-hmm. because that the infrastructure, you can't have a big car there.
Yeah.
But anyway, what he said really surprised me, because he said that their main focus outside of ramping those plants is a Tesla bot.
Wow.
That's their number one priority.
They want to make that full. They want to make a robot.
They want to make a robot. Because
they asked about, did you say Tesla Semi?
And they're working on that. The problem with the Semi is they're battery constrained, and it takes a hell of a lot
you
of cells.
You think he's just bored? He's like, the cars. I've been going at this for a little bit. I want to make a robot.
Yeah, that was funny, because there was, so when they were asking him, they asked him about their R&D department, whether within Tesla they had like an incubator system where when people came up with ideas, they kind of put groups together to work on the ideas and then promote it within. And one of the guys that was there, and I don't know who he was, he just started talking about that in the background, or kind of in the background, but his voice got louder, like they had him come up to the mic. And he said, there's no incubator in Tesla. He said, we take ideas and we take them to the fucking floor and make them work. And then he goes, oh, excuse me. And Elon kind of chuckled because he was so passionate. And Elon said,
that guy was working for him.
You know, he was one of the guys that was on the call. Elon said, you don't need an incubator for an idea. He goes, you don't need three people working on an idea. He goes, I got an idea. I want to go to the moon. All right. Well, that was easy. I got the idea. The hard part is making it happen. Right. And he goes, we got all kinds of ideas. It's making them all happen. But getting back to the bot.
Hey, can I add something to this bot?
Yeah.
The biggest problem I think people will have with this bot, and just because, guys, it's coming. It's coming. That shit's coming. Okay, we're going to have robots. We're going to have self-helpers. They're going to do the mundane, boring-ass tasks that no human really wants to do anymore.
Pig loading?
Yeah, honestly.
I'm so excited.
Awesome. Biggest problem people are going to have is data.
Yep.
No one likes giving their data to the company that owns the product that you're going to have in your house or your hog barn or whatever every day. No one wants that.
So they
you
asked
have
him
to have transparency there, like, hey, we're not going to like know every intricate detail about you and your family.
Right.
Because that's fucking scary.
Right. So he talked on Lex Friedman's podcast about that. If you really want to go deep on about any subject, look up Lex Friedman. He's kind of a...
He's emerging as another Joe Rogan.
Well, he is, but I mean
Jordan
his...
Peterson a little bit, I don't know.
Well, he's very intelligent. So I think he's a physicist by trade.
Would you think he's tall or short?
I think he's short.
He is short.
Yeah,
he's
I think
the
he
same
is
height
short.
As Rogan, I think.
Is he?
I always pictured him to be like a tall bastard, but I don't know. I saw a picture of him and Rogan together, and I was like, man...
He's very smart. He's very thoughtful. He's very
he is well spoken.
He's one of the like me. If I'm sitting and nobody's talking, I feel like I need to talk. The way he paces those podcasts, because he'll ask a question and then he'll just sit there because
he is one of those guys. I think he has to think before he speaks.
He does,
because he doesn't want he has to dumb down what he's about to say. Yes. In his head before he says it.
Yeah.
Because he's very intelligent.
He has to pause before he speaks, and then people like me should pause before they speak. Yeah. But don't
me
necessarily
too.
Do it.
Me too.
Anyway, the bot, on your subject there, they asked what the applications for it would be, and Elon said, well, basically the jobs that nobody wants to do, and when we produce this robot, the first jobs that it has will be within Tesla. They are, because they are like everybody else. They've got labor issues. And he said, so the most mundane jobs, taking items off of a pallet and moving them to the line, that is what they'll do. And within the factory at Austin, they're working on them right now. I mean, they're working on them right now. And they call them Optimus Subprime is what they call it. That's their code name for the robot program. I was blown away. Like, I had no idea that it was
that. Okay, you got your total revenue and profit, but like, what if you had to pay less? I mean, all that matters.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. And I don't think they're going to do, you know, main positions, really important positions, obviously. But I mean, paying a janitor and paying all the janitors at your facility, if you can have an AI bot do all the janitors' work.
I don't think that'll be
just stuff like that.
I think it'll literally be unloading freight. I think it'll be, you know, probably getting all the tires, you know, lining up the tire, you know, stuff that they could lifting and moving, stuff like that. That's what they'll start with.
I want one to do. Oh man, I would just love to have one to clean.
I just want my own personal build me up guy. I want one to just follow me around, and then all the stuff
Jarvis.
I say that's stupid, they're like, damn right. Damn right. Okay. And if you could get them with a custom voice, if I could get one that has Sam Elliott's voice off of 1883.
That would be cool.
And he'd be my yes man, and he'd be like, damn straight, dork. Oh, gosh, that would be the best. Just be the best.
I don't know what I'd want. I don't know who I'd want, but yeah, I just want one that would fold the laundry, clean, just do all the, think about, you just don't realize this till you're an adult, but think about all the time you spend on that little shit.
Yep.
Folding the laundry, washing the laundry, doing the dishes, all that stuff. It's like, could I just do podcasting all day? Could I farm all day? Do I have to do this when I come home?
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of beat the drum pretty hard on Tesla.
That is really surprising, though. I will say I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I was very surprised, and they truly believe they will solve full self-driving.
Did he give a date on anything with the Robobot?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But he said that the worldwide, you know, the chip thing, that it is getting better. But they said that for this year, somebody asked him about batteries, and they said that they will not be battery constrained. So they will be able to get all the batteries they need for every car they produce, that chips and other things that go into the vehicles will be the constraint on the ultimate number of vehicles they can produce. And they believe that it'll be that way for all of 22 and into 23. And then they said once they get into 23, there are so many chip fabs that are being built right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
That then they believe that batteries then will be the limiting factor. And I don't think he commented about the deals. I didn't hear him comment about the deals that they've made as far as raw materials, but they've signed several deals of late for the raw materials to go into batteries so that they can guarantee that they will have the supply that they need going forward. I guess the last thing I'll say is one other thing that I thought was very surprising, it was also very telling, is he said that the value of the software that they are creating for full self-driving, the value of Tesla as a software company will far outvalue the number of cars they can sell. Because eventually every car sold in the world will be full self-driving.
No, because of Tesla self.
And it'll all be there. Well, he didn't say it will all be theirs, but if they solve it first and they execute, he believes the value of the software will be worth more than all of the production of autos that they have. So basically a 5X. So Tesla, this is not financial advice, and I don't claim to know anything. I'm just telling you what I believe.
Your research, what you've done.
Tesla was down all last week, as was a lot of the stock market, and it closed actually down today, and then it was up after hours, but it's right around 9.50. That stock, you're going to look back upon this day someday, a couple years from now, and you're going to be just absolutely godsmacked that you could have bought Tesla for less than
$1,000.
Oh yeah, I mean the
peak. What do you think after 22 end of 22 prediction stock price?
I said earlier that I thought it'd be, you know, 1600, and I'm going to stick with that because we could be going into a recession.
True.
I mean, we very well could be going into a recession, and if that's the case, you know, stocks. Here's the best piece of advice I can give you, which isn't a financial advice, but people have said it for generations. And if you ask Warren Buffett, if you ask anybody that's good at investing, they'll all tell you this, and it's the truth. When there's blood in the streets, that's the time to be buying. So when this market tanks and you start seeing people panic selling because they believe that something is better than nothing because whatever they own is going to zero, that's the time to buy.
Everything's on sale, baby.
Now, I don't think Tesla, I feel like Tesla's been on sale.
Here's my problem with this. They're telling us not to have our don't have cash.
I know.
And then when the recession hits, you're not going to have any freaking cash to go on the offense.
I know.
So it's so hard because you're like, oh, I don't want my money to depreciate in value.
Well, and
not make me any money, so I need to put it in stuff. But then you're like, well, if the recession's going to happen, I wish I had cash on hand because then I can buy everything for pennies on the dollar.
I'll put my farmer hat on.
Damn it. Don't you wish you were a billionaire?
Yeah. So if you got your farmer hat, any of you out there that are sitting that you've paid your inputs and you've got grain left in the bin, are you going to sell it and go buy stocks? Well, probably not, because I think beans hit a new high today. They might have hit it yesterday. I can't remember, but everything's high. And with you know, wheat is going to drag until this Russian thing sorts. If Russia goes into Ukraine, the wheat market is going freaking crazy because Ukraine is a huge agricultural producer for Europe. And, you know, it, like I said earlier,
Volker,
it'll be a catalyst.
Farmers are going to be just bringing it in.
I mean, it's
baby.
Crazy. And it'll drag everything else. And, you know, you get a drought. If you get Russia and Ukraine and you get a drought in South America, if I'm a farmer, I'm not buying stocks because my bin is increasing faster than the stock market could. Of course, then the only thing increasing faster than that is the cost of fertilizer.
And fertilizer and everything.
So it's a vicious circle. But I mean, right now there's just a lot of uncertainty. But I will say this, I think, yes. I said, you look back 2 years from now, you look back and Tesla under $1,000 is going to look incredibly cheap. Incredibly cheap.
Yeah. They're on to something big.
And they did touch on that they totally want to get into the heating and cooling business. Like, they want to build. Jeez. Well, it only makes sense because they've done it in cars. So they've made heating and cooling in cars. And Elon just said, making a home heating and cooling system compared to making in a car is simple. It's super simple. The problem is they don't have time, they don't have the facilities, they don't have the engineers. But if you're going to have a Tesla Powerwall, Tesla solar roof, and you could make that system so efficient yet so big, his whole thing is everybody wants to size these systems, you know, just right, just big enough for the house. But Elon's point was, if you make the system efficient enough when it's running, you can size it big enough that when you go to work in the morning, let your house go to 85 degrees, and an hour before you come home from work, it's cooled down to 72. Because you've got so much efficiency, you can oversize the unit, and you'll still save money. God. And it doesn't cost you anything anyway, because it's running off your batteries from your solar. I mean, the opportunities are just, it's insane.
Did he talk about that on the annual report?
He talked on it a little bit, and he basically just said that. He said that it's simple. Compared to doing it in a car, doing it for the home is simple. They just don't have the time and the manpower to dedicate people to do it. They said eventually they will do it, and it fits their mission. Their mission is to...
Yeah, what's their why?
So their why is to accelerate the transition to sustainable energy, to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy. That's their mission. That's their why. And their biggest one was cars, and then semis.
That's what people don't get.
Yeah.
They see Tesla is strictly nothing else. cars.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it's everything else.
If I feel like if the cars work, if they build that business, which it's working, but if they succeed, that is going to be their, that's going to be their cash flow for everything else.
They made $4 billion in the fourth quarter. $4 billion. They're sitting on $17 billion in cash. GM and Ford are broke. They're in debt. Stellantis is in debt. Tesla could pay off the, they could pay off the piddly amount of debt that they have left. They've paid off most of it. They only have a piddly amount of debt left. They could pay it off tomorrow. They're sitting on $17 billion. Well, and they're printing money every day. They're printing money, and they got the highest margin of anybody out there.
What would you do with $17 billion?
If I had $17 billion, I probably wouldn't build another hog building.
Would you at least make the barn nice so we could shoot it?
I'd probably buy a new tractor. Or at least get a cab kit for my 7820. I might update it.
You'd get the barn talk. Barn, though, looking good.
Oh, yeah, you dang right. We're going to do that anyway.
Yeah, that will be sweet. You guys will see the whole process. Well, folks, this has been a good episode. I feel like we touched on a lot, and it was. I hope it was valuable to you guys. I got some value out of Dad's Tesla tire rant because I didn't know anything going into this. And
I got no value out of your cowboy rant, yeah, but it was entertaining.
Didn't either. You saw me got fired. You saw me getting fired up. If you're a sports fan, I hope you enjoyed that a little bit. We had a kind of every thing for everybody tonight. We had a buffet of stuff
that
everybody could snack on. But I am more faithful. I got faith in America more than ever. When sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but I feel like really the tide is turning. People are starting to really think for themselves, waking up to what the hell is going on? And I got faith in Tesla, too. I think they're a great company. Not financial advice. And I will say I don't have much faith in the Cowboys, though, until they make some changes. That's just the way it is. But, yeah, I'm optimistic. You got to stay optimistic or else what are you doing?
Yeah,
what's
the point?
What's the point? If you're a pessimist and all you do is think negative, it ain't going to serve you well.
So, no fun.
No fun. Just look on the bright side. Look for the things that are going to, you know, crush it. Yep. And I think we talk about stuff that crushes it.
I'm going to go to the hog show tomorrow, I think, and see some old friends. And I think we're probably going to spring you with a Zoom episode coming up. I'm not sure. We're trying to get all the bugs worked out. So it's hard to get people to come to Southeast Iowa in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And schedules are tough, but we're trying to hash a deal that we can do
some Zooming.
Do some Zoom. It's not quite, I really like getting people here because there's just a certain amount of chemistry that you just can't get over that, but
we want to get some good ass guests. So yeah. I mean, you know what? If we want to get Elon Musk on here one day, we gotta get some Zoom going.
I replied to one of his tweets and told him they should bring the Cybertruck to Iowa for a little on the farm testing. I'm sure that
if that ever happens, guys, don't worry. I would have that on video because you would be like a kid on. All jacked
I would
up on Mountain
be
Dew. You would be the most excited person I've ever seen.
I'd probably be the quietest that you've ever seen me. I would just try to soak it all in.
Unless he asks you questions.
I just want to. Yeah, right. Maybe I can get on a moon launch.
If he asked you to take me through one of your hog barns, you would be going insane.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. 100%.
Hopefully we hit the lotto and get $18 billion, but I don't think that's going to
happen. You can't win if you don't play. But,
share the show, guys. If you got any value from this, any made you laugh, made you relate, gave you some value, gave you some entertainment, share the show with your friends, family, coworkers, everybody. Leave us a rating. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you want to see or listen, or you know what guests you want to have on the show. And with that being said, we'll see you back here next week. Have a good one.